You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's wonderful to be with you once again this Wednesday afternoon as the cold front seems to be coming into Johannesburg. It's a little bit windy and getting a little bit more chilly. We're going to be talking about some beautiful, important ideas in our time together. You're welcome to let us know what your thoughts are, ask us any questions, send us an SMS 34519, email onair@chaifm.com, or you can even WhatsApp us 0621482374. We see that as a rabbi, I often get questions like, Rabbi, what is it that God wants of me? Which is a good question. And something that the quintessential rabbi often often got to, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Moses, we refer to Moses as Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Moses, our teacher. And our teacher Moses, in his time of leading the Jewish people and of leading them out of Egypt and into the desert, receiving the Torah across the sea and being there for 40 years, Moses must have received this question very often. And he answers, in Devarim, we're reading now Sefer Devarim, which our time together is a time of adventures in Jewish history. Well, probably the greatest speech ever given in the history of the world is Sefer Devarim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses shares his parting testament with the Jewish people, the last few weeks of his life, they are about to embark on their journey into the land of Israel, the Holy Land that God promised to our forefathers. Moses, unfortunately, can't lead them into the land. All he is able to do is to go to the top of the hill and look into the land. And God tells him for many reasons that Yehoshua, Joshua, would be the one to lead the people into the land. And so Moses is preparing the people as they begin this new chapter in the book of the Jewish people, entering into our homeland and living as a nation, which they hadn't done before. Remember, they were in Egypt. They were a slave nation in Egypt. They were now received the Torah. They're in the desert for 40 years, living in a supernatural, miraculous way with manna from heaven, with their clothes that don't wear out, with the ananea covered with the clouds of glory that protect them above and below and all sides. So they were living in this bubble, in this supernatural environment. But now they have to come down to earth, enter into a land which will be their land, and live as a normal nation in a land. Well, it's a relative term, normal nation, because the Jewish people are among Mleches Kohen V'Goy Kadosh. They are a nation of priests, a holy nation that God has selected to share his word with and to be a light unto the nations and bring the light of God and morality into the world. So although they'll be in their own land and somewhat living in a more normal way, but still having this great privilege and responsibility of teaching the world about the oneness of God and about the light of God. So Moses is preparing them for this. And Devarim, Sefer Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy, is the last few weeks of Moses' life, telling them what they need to know, giving them an overview of life and of what they're doing over here and of what our purpose and function is and what God wants of us, and also sharing with them many mitzvahs that are going to be relevant for them as they enter into the land. And Moses tells the Jewish people, he must have received that question, what does Hashem want of me? And he answers the question. He says, Ma Hashem lokecha shol meimach, what is it that God wants of you? And he answers very simply, Ki im leyira es Hashem lokecha. That which God wants of you is that we should, leyira is to have reverence, have awe, have fear for God. That's our function, that's our mission, that's what God wants. The sign of success, the indication of a person who's successful in this world, is a person who's got Yirah Shamayim, a person who's got reverence for God and lives with that awareness and consciousness. And the individual who's not successful in God's eyes, says Moses, is the one who doesn't have any reverence for God, who doesn't have any Yirah Shamayim. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment and continue with Moses' powerful message to the Jewish people.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Welcome back. We're discussing the greatest speech ever given in the history of the world, Sefer Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses sharing his parting words with the Jewish people. And he answers the question, which he obviously received regularly, what is it that God wants of me? He said, God wants that which God wants of all of us is Le Yira Es Hashem Lekecha, is to have Yiras Shemayim, to have the awe and reverence and fear of God. And so that's the what. But what is the how? How do we do that? How do we achieve that? So Moses tells us that's the goal of every human being. That's the mission of our, that's all of our mission here in this world. That's why God created us, in order to have reverence for Him and to serve Him. And obviously it's for our good ultimately, which is a whole another long discussion that maybe we'll have one day. But that's it. In a nutshell, that's what God wants of every single one of us, to have reverence for Him and to live with a cognizance and awareness of God's power, of God's greatness, and of our responsibility to serve God. That's a successful person if we live with that mindset and it impacts on our behavior. And if we don't and ignore God and don't have Yiras Shamayim, so no matter what else we may have achieved, says Moses, in God's eyes, that's not a successful person. But how do we do it? That's the what. But what is the how? How do we actually achieve Yiras Shamayim? So Baruch Hashem, God didn't only give us a Torah Shebaksava, written Torah, but God also gave us a Torah Shebaalpeh, an oral Torah, the oral tradition. And in the oral tradition, in the Gemara in Menachos, the answer to this question appears, of how to achieve Yiras Shamayim. Rabbi Meir in the Gemara in Menachos says that a person is obligated to make 100 blessings every day. And he quotes this verse that we've just referred to from Moses. He says, Ma Hashem Elokech Shomimacht. Don't read Ma, but rather Meya Hashem Elokech Shomimacht. Kim Leira Es Hashem Lokechem. 100 Hashem wants of you. And that's how you'll get to developing Yiras Shamayim, with 100. What's 100? It's 100 blessings. David HaMelech, King David, teaches us that we're all obligated to make 100 blessings every day. And most of us usually do that, because an observant Jew is constantly making blessings. We daven Shmone Esrei 3 times a day, the Amidah 3 times a day. So the Amidah's got 19 blessings in it. So 19 times 3 plus. We say the morning blessings, Birkas HaShachar, Birkas HaTorah. There's many blessings in Shacharis and Ma'ariv as well. There's also the many blessings we say over food, before eating our food, after eating our food. We say a blessing every time we go to the bathroom. So usually we clock up 100 comfortably every day. Sometimes on Shabbos a little bit more difficult. Tzaddikim, righteous people, actually have a count. They keep record, keep count of the blessings, and they make sure they get to 100. And it's a bit hard on Shabbos Yom, because the Shmon Esrei, the davening on Shabbos Yom Tov, is less than 19 blessings. It's much less. So therefore one has to make up those extra blessings. But that's what the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Meir in the Gemara is telling us. He's telling us that B'meya Hashem Elokech Hashomimach, in 100 that Hashem asks from you, that's how you build Yiras Shamayim. There are many here in Johannesburg that are part of the Dirshu Dafa Yomi Ba'alocha program, which is an outstanding program. It's a program that's worldwide, an international program. The international organization Dirshu launched it a number of years ago, and Rabbi Ari Tabak brought it to South Africa and very successfully launched it here in South Africa. And as a result, Baruch Hashem, there are many, many people, hundreds of people here in Johannesburg that are learning one page of Mishneh Berurah every day, which is a wonderful program, and it's such an important thing to do, to learn halacha, to learn what is it Hashem wants of us, so we could serve Hashem properly. And we've just finished Chelek Beis. We've just finished the second chapter of Daf Yomi Ba'alocha, of the Dirshu program, the second volume. And the second volume primarily deals with the laws of brachas, the laws of blessings. And we learned over there that in order for a blessing to be constitute a proper full blessing, you need what's called Shem Umalchus. You need to, in the blessing, mention Hashem's name and also mention Hashem's kingship, that Hashem is king. So that's what we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the world. So we need Hashem Elokeinu, which is Shem, that's God's name. Melech is Malchus, so that's Shem Umalchus, God's name and the kingdom, and then it makes it a valid blessing. That constitutes a proper blessing. But we don't just mention Melech. We say Melech HaOlam, King of the world, because the Gemara says, Ein Melech Bli Malchus. There's no king without a kingdom. So we mention God's name and we mention God's kingdom, that God is King of HaOlam, of the world. So these words that we say are actually very, very powerful. These 100 blessings we say have the ability to transform us, to change us, to connect us with God and to develop, to build, to help us create a sense of reverence for God in our life in this world. So the blessings are great gifts that the sages instituted that give us, it's really, they're a ladder that connects us with the higher world, that connects us with God, and they give us the potential and ability to have the right thoughts to put in the correct context our relationship with God, which is Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, O God, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the world. And very often in the brachas we carry on, we say Borei, Borei Pri Hagafen, blessed that you created the fruits of the vine, Borei Pri Haetz, the fruits of the tree, Borei Pri Adama, the fruits of the ground, which is vegetables, Borei Minei Mezonos, who created the different grains. So we even, many of the reasons say, Borei, that God not only is our God, King of the world, but God creates so many wonderful things from which we get benefit in this world. And in fact, the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara in Brachas, Yerushalmi of Brachas, says that there are two contradictory psukim verses in Tehillim in Psalms. The one verse says, La Hashem ha'aretz muloah, to Hashem is the world and everything inside of it. That's actually the Shil Shuriyam that we say on Sunday. We're saying that La Hashem, to God, ha'aretz muloah, is the land and everything in the land. It all belongs to God. But there's another verse we say in Tehillim, Hashemayim shemayim la Hashem, ve'aretz nasan livnei Adam, that the heavens belong to Hashem, and Hashem gave us the aretz, the world, he gave to Bnei Adam, to human beings. So that seems to be a steer, it seems to be a contradiction. Either La Hashem aretz muloah, Hashem controls the whole world, it all belongs to Hashem, or he gave us this earth to belong to humankind, the possession of humankind. So which one is it? It's not both. So the Gemara answers this contradiction and says, one is lifnei habrocha and one is acharei habrocha. Lifnei habrocha, before habrocha, la Hashem haaretz muloah, that everything, the world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. It's Hashem's property. God created this world and is therefore God's possessions. But when we say habrocha, God then releases possession to us and we have permission to get benefit from God's world. So the payment we make and the key to access benefit from God's world, to give us permission, which therefore transfers it over to us. It's no longer stealing, but we now have permission to get benefit from God's world, is the blessing that we say, or the blessings we make. So that's an incredible way to constantly connect to Hashem, is that we, before we eat and before we drink and throughout our day, we're saying these blessings, and that contextualized our existence. That shows us, that reminds us, that there's a creator who's the king of the world, and everything belongs to our creator, and we have permission to benefit from God. God in his kindness created these things, and he allows us to benefit if we say the blessing, if we thank him for it, and if we acknowledge from where it comes. So that's the potential we have in every blessing that we say. We even say a blessing after we go to the bathroom, because that's a great wonder that our body works and functions and absorbs the energy that we need from the food that we consume, and that expels the waste of the food. Incredible, miraculous. So we thank God even for going to the bathroom. But when we do so, if we do so in a way that we are conscious and present, unfortunately, one of the great pitfalls in life is that even though we may be doing meaningful, significant things, when we do them over and over again on a regular basis, so very often we lose the power and the significance and the life, the energy in that action. For example, davening and brachas, like praying and saying blessings, very often we just mumbled off the blessings in a rote way, and we don't really internalize what we're saying and think about the powerful words that we are expressing in these blessings. So the Gemara Menachos says that the way to achieve Yerushalayim, which is the goal of every human being, is through the blessings that we say. Rav Volbi, who was one of the great rabbis of our generation, the great Mashkiach, passed away a number of years ago. So he says, you can't conquer the world in a day. You can't say, okay, so now I have to say my blessings, either take on blessings or say them, which is a good idea. And even if we can't take on all the blessings, so we should start saying blessings when we can. And start small, but we should all be saying blessings before we eat. Perhaps the easiest one to take on is Sheh HaKol. A Sheh HaKol is a blessing that you say on all food, apart from fruits and vegetables and wine and bread and the five grains mazonis, which are pastries. Otherwise, we always say most things we say Sheh HaKol. Most drinks we say Sheh HaKol. All drinks apart from wine. And many foods we say Sheh HaKol. So that's a great blessing to start with. If one's not saying blessings and one's looking to build Yiras Shamayim, which should be the main focus of every human being. So start by saying the blessing Sheh HaKol. Every time you have a glass of water, a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, a chocolate, some meat or eggs. So you'll say, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you God, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, who's the King of the world, Sheh HaKol Nieh Bidvaro, that everything exists in His Word. Everything that we have in the world is only here because God said, God created the world with words. God said and the world was. That's how God created the world. So we acknowledge that when we enjoy God's world, that Sheh HaKol Nieh Bidvaro, that everything exists in the Word of God, from the Word of God. And if one is saying blessings, which is a wonderful thing to do, so we should try and re-inspire ourselves with regards to blessings. And pick one blessing that you'll try and always have proper kavona when you say. Rav Volbi suggests, Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, the blessing we say for bread. So every time a person has bread, they'll say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, who brings bread from the ground. So imagine the sheaves of wheat that are growing in the ground, and those wheat sheaves are harvested, and they are the seed is then crushed, is ground into flour. The flour is kneaded with water, and it becomes a dough. The dough is plaited, and the dough is baked. And that's how we have our bread. The dough is shaped, and we bake the bread. So it's an amazing thing that God created this wheat seed, and it ends up as being bread that I'm eating. So you have that in mind. Thank you, Hashem, Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, who brings bread from the ground. He gives us bread from the ground. So that's one of the ways, one of the great ways to build Yiras Shamayim and to fulfill our function, or as we say, our tachlis, our purpose in this world. Moses continues to teach us what's important, what values we should have, our priorities in this world. And the parsha we begin this week, Moses starts with the very powerful words. And he says to the Jewish people, Re'ei, look, Anoichi noisen lifneichem hayom brocha uklala. I am giving to you, I'm placing in front of you today, blessing and curse. So he says, wake up, Jewish people. Look at what's going on over here. Look at what I'm presenting to you. I'm presenting to you blessing or curse. It's either or, it's one or the other. Es ha-brocha asher tishmu, es Hashem elokecha, elokeichem. The brocha, where's the brocha? The blessing. The blessing is when you listen to Hashem, your God, Asher anochi metzaveh eschem hayom, that I'm commanding you today, v'aklala, and the curse, im lo tishmu es Hashem elokeichem, if you don't listen to the words of your God. So really, Moses is saying it's out there, it's up to us. And we all have a choice, and we all constantly are making choices. The choices between good and bad, the choices between right and wrong, the choices between blessing and curse, the choices between spiritual, eternal life and death. Those are the choices we are all making all the time. And Moses is pleading to the Jewish people, have a look at this. Look at the two sides. Look at which way to go. If you in sync with God and fulfill the commandments of God, so that's going to be a blessing. That's going to be an eternal blessing. And if you are not in sync, and if you go against God's commandments and ignore God's commandments, so that's going to be a curse. That's going to be a klala. Now, there are many commentaries on this verse, and the main question that many of the commentaries ask is, how could it be that grammatically this verse is incorrect? Because it starts out with singular and ends with plural. It starts out singular, re'ei anoichi noisen lifneichem hayom brocha. Re'ei is singular. It's not ro'im, but re'ei. Anoich noisem, it doesn't say lefanecha in front of you. It says lifneichem. So it starts with singular, and then in the same sentence, three words later, it's plural. So that seems to be grammatically incorrect. So the commentators explain that Moses was not making a mistake over here. Moses was teaching us a very powerful lesson. which I'll a number of powerful lessons, which I will share with you. The first one is that he's telling the people, Ra'ei Anoichi Noisen Lifneichem, I'm placing in front of all of you. In other words, look, each individual look. Look at what's going on around you, in your community, Lifneichem, in front of all of you. In other words, the blessing and the curse is self-evident. A person who lives a life that is in sync with the mitzvahs, with God, who listens to the word of God. So that person, right in front of you, Moses is not saying, you know, wait until Olam Haba, the next world, and that person will get a great share, which is true. He says you can even see the blessing here in this world. And those that move away from Hashem and are not listening to God's commandments, so unfortunately there's darkness and there's a world and a life of struggle, of superficiality, of materialism, of no direction and meaning when we move away from God's purpose in this world. So Moses is saying, look, you can see, it's self-evident, the blessing and the curse in the world around you and in life in front of you. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that this is a very powerful message, that this is the, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains this as being why it starts with singular and ends with plural, because he's saying that it is self-evident. And there's a very beautiful teaching that Rav Noach Weinberg, who was the founder, Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah. Eish HaTorah was, he founded it in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, but Eish HaTorah is now a massive network of organizations around the world that do outstanding work in sharing the depth and beauty and the fire of Torah with our fellow Jews. Rav Noach Weinberg used to say that if there's a homeless person, and that homeless person who does not have anywhere to sleep, they sleep out on the street, all their possessions are in their trolley. Let's say a person took an envelope with $1 million and put it inside the homeless person's trolley. Now the homeless person doesn't know it's there. They don't realize that it's there. And they think that they are very poor. But in fact, they've got a lot of money. They've got $1 million. So if they do not realize what they have, so technically they still, although technically they're a wealthy person, they'll still remain somebody who's poor and who's impoverished. And the value of life is appreciating what we've got. If they knew they had that envelope, so they would realize how wealthy they are. And very often in life, Hashem, he gives us these envelopes of riches, and we don't know they're there. We ignore them. We're so caught up with the distraction in the world. We're so caught up with our own stuff and our own, you know, neuroses and depressions or whatever it may be, that we actually ignore the envelopes there. And so part of life, of living a life of spirituality and of meaning, is to have gratitude. Gratitude for what God has given us. And that requires us to see what God has given us, to appreciate the riches that we all have. That we, God is slipping into our trolley all the time, these envelopes of cash. And we just need to open our eyes and see them. We need to appreciate and have gratitude for our sight and for our hearing and for our breathing and for our digestion and for our families and for our parnosa and for our communities and for our life. If we develop this attitude of gratitude, so we realize how wealthy we are. And that's the blessing that Rav Moshe Feinstein is talking about. That a person who is aware of God and aware of the blessings that God has given him in their life, they have this gratitude and this sense of appreciation and this meaning, and they're full with life. And a person who doesn't see God and doesn't recognize the gifts and turns their back on the many blessings that God gives them, in other words, they're so caught up with their own stuff and they want a bigger house and they want more and they want a bigger car, and they don't have gratitude. So such a person is constantly running and constantly searching and lives a life which is a klala, which is not filled with blessing and light, but is dark and empty and cursed. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. And we're discussing the blessing. Rav Moshe Feinstein says Moses is telling us that there's clear blessing for those that live a life filled with godliness, filled with gratitude, filled with acknowledgement of the blessings that one has. And if one does not see that and does not live in a world where they're cognizant of God's many blessings that God showers upon them and the whole world, so that unfortunately is a world of klala, a world of darkness. There's another a beautiful midrash on this verse, on this pasuk. The midrash says that this pasuk that Moses teaches the Jewish people, Re anoichi noisin lifneichem hayom brocho klala, I'm placing in front of you today blessing and curse. The midrash says that Moses was teaching them right and wrong. Now the question is, why is brocho and klala, blessing and curse, right and wrong? Right and wrong is listening to Hashem. Right is listening to Hashem. Wrong is not listening to Hashem. But why does this emphasis on blessing and curse also constitute Moses telling them what's right and wrong, a moral lesson? So the answer to the midrash is, I read this from Rabbi Leibowitz. Rabbi Leibowitz was one of was the founder of the Chofetz Chaim yeshivas around the world, very great, deep thinking person. And he explains the following. He says that the makeup of a human being, the normal setup of each and every one of us, the way God created us, is we have two opposing forces inside of us. Two very powerful opposing forces. The one force is known, what we call the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. And the one is the Yetzer Tov, is the good inclination. And both of those forces are constantly at loggerheads and are struggling and battling for domination. The Yetzer is very strong and very powerful. And unless we are conscious of this inner struggle, the Yetzer usually is going to be dominant and will be in control. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of thought, it takes a lot of energy to realize the inner battle and to try and muster the strength to overcome the dark side inside of every single one of us. And that's life. That's the struggle. That's the challenge of life. And that's why, as we started, Moses says, what is it God wants of you? He wants us to have Yirah Shamayim. Yirah Shamayim means that we overcome our Yetzer Hara and we live in sync with what God wants of us. So even though the Yetzer Hara wants me to eat this and wants me to say this and wants me to do this, and there's a very strong drive inside of me, a very strong instinct and inclination to do that, but the Yetzer Tov says, no, that's not what God wants. That's not the right thing to do. It's not about you over here. It's about what God wants of you, what God expects of you in his world. And therefore, the Yetzer Tov is struggling to try and overcome the Yetzer Hara and hold it at bay. And that's Yirah Shamayim, means the person who lives with that awareness and is able to follow and listen to the Yetzer Tov and not give in to the Yetzer Hara. So that's what God wants of us. That's really the focus, should be the focus and challenge of every human being. And we should be working on that all the time. So 24/7, apart from when we're sleeping, you know, there's this, the minute we awake, there's this constant struggle and battle. So the reason why these words are teaching us right and wrong, says Rabbi Leibowitz, is because they're telling us that they really are ammunition for the Yetzer Tov to defeat the Yetzer Hara. In other words, usually we are very easily seduced. You know, those strong drives within us of the Yetzer Hara control us and usually are define how we behave and what we do and what we pursue in our lives. But we need to try and even out the battle, the struggle. And in order to have a level playing field, so Moses is emphasizing bracha and klala. In other words, he's saying that if you give in to the Yetzer Hara and you don't listen to what Hashem wants and you're controlled by your lower self, so that is klala. And if you overcome that and resist those temptations, so that's bracha. And the bracha and klala, therefore, are a motivation to see the consequences, the ramifications of our choices. Our choices are not in a vacuum. Our choices are not insignificant and random and coincidental, but they define whether we're going to live a life of bracha and klala, not only in this world and the short life we have here in this world, but in the next world for eternity as well. So Moses is emphasizing that I'm giving you blessing and curse. And don't think that your choices are insignificant. No, on the contrary, if you give in to your lower self and you give in to the Yetzer Hara and you pull away from Hashem, so that's going to result in a klala for eternity. Those are choices you're going to have to face the ramifications of, not just in this lifetime, but when we leave this world as well. So in other words, the Midrash is telling us that Moses is trying to emphasize the importance of us having a global view and of seeing the bigger picture and of realizing that the choices we're making are long-lasting and eternal choices, which hopefully will give us the strength and motivation and inspiration to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So that's why these are teachings of right and wrong, because they are breaking through the veil and the darkness of the Yetzer Hara and giving us the ability to make the right choices. I saw another very beautiful explanation as to why there's a singular and a plural with regards to Re'e Anoichi Noisen Lifneichem, and we'll share that last idea when we come back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. Let's end off with one final, very powerful idea. And that is the reason why Moses, in sharing this important message with the Jewish people, started in the singular and concluded in the plural. Ro'eh, singular, Anoichi Noisen Lifneichem, in front of you, plural, Hayom Brocho Klala, is because Moses wants us to realize that when we make choices in our lives, they are not only about us, but they also have a tremendous impact on our community, on our people, on Klal Yisrael. Every Jew is a part of the team called Klal Yisrael. And each of us plays an important role, an important function. And therefore, when we are making choices in our lives, we shouldn't only think that the choice impacts on me and brings blessing or curse to me in this world and for eternity, but we should also remember that this choice impacts greatly on the entire Jewish people. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, and Daf Mem Amud Beis, says that a person should view themselves as exactly half on the side of Chayev, half on the side of guilt, and half the side of Zakai, half on the side of merit. And this particular ordeal that they're facing right now is going to tip the scales either way. If they choose the right thing to do, it'll tip the scales to merit. If they choose the wrong thing, it'll tip the scales to guilt. So the Gemara says that's how a person should view their life. That's how they should see themselves constantly and every choice that they make. And the Gemara continues and says, and Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon says, that a person should view the whole world, Sha oilam nidon acha ruboy, va'yachid nidon acha ruboy, asa mitzvah achas ashrav sheichre es atzmo ve'etz kol ha'oilam l'kavzchus. If a person, not only in their own record, their own achievements they should view as exactly half-half, a person should view that the entire world is half of, that the merits of the world and the guilt of the world are exactly level on the scales. And this particular action is going to tip the scales on the side of merit for that person themselves, him or herself, and is going to tip the scales for the whole world. The whole world will be impacted upon from this particular choice that we make. That's how we should view ourselves. So that's what Moses is telling the Jewish people. Don't view yourself in isolation. See that you are part of a community, that you're part of a team, and that you have a responsibility and role to play in the team. I often refer to soccer because I'm a big soccer fan. And, you know, the soccer team relies on all 11 players. And if one of the players gets sent off, so it has a huge impact on the team. And it's now very, very hard for that team to defeat the opposition, because they got one player less. So that's what Moses is saying, is that you are a player within the Jewish people and your role is significant and crucial. And if you choose the wrong thing, if you choose klala, curse, instead of bracha, instead of blessing, so you're going to negatively impact on the whole Jewish people. There's a famous story about Leon Trotsky. Leon Trotsky was one of the leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and he was brought up as an observant Jew. Trotsky went to cheder. He went to learn to yeshiva, and he obviously, you know, left his Judaism and embraced the communist dream, and was one of the powerful leaders of the communist revolution. And it's known that the Chofetz Chaim would often say that the melamed, the teacher, the Torah teacher, the cheder rebbe of Leon Trotsky. So he's not only held responsible for Trotsky's downfall, for Trotsky leaving observance of Judaism and not living as a Jew, but he's also responsible for the millions of Jews who were torn away from Torah as a result of communism. We know the communist regime was a very evil regime, didn't allow the practice of any religion, and it was very totalitarian in carrying out its wishes. So Trotsky was one of the protagonists that brought about the brought to power the communists in Russia. So the negative impact on millions of Jews was largely as a result of Trotsky's efforts. And therefore the Rebbe, the Melamed of Trotsky, is also held accountable for all of those negative things that happened to Jewish people. That's what the Chofetz Chaim used to say. So therefore we should see how our choices that we make have a great impact. That's for the negative, but for the positive as well. When we do something positive, when we lead by example, when we help others, when we live in a moral, righteous way, when we follow an ethical code, even though the world doesn't have any ethics or any values, and we stay strong and stick to our principles and live in an upright way, as we are supposed to as Jews, with Yiras Shamayim, so then the impact is great, and it could impact not only oneself, but many others around you, and even many generations to follow. So that's the singular and plural to remember, that we are part of a team, and we have a responsibility to all of Klal Yisrael, to the entire Jewish community. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned to Chai FM.